What's going on, guys? My name is Tucker Bierman, owner and operator of Refined Talent Design. Here on the Refining Exchange podcast, we're going to discuss some of the pillars of leadership and how that impacts and plays a part in your faith, family, business, and your personal life. So let's get into it. What's going on, guys? Tucker Bierman and Jerry Bierman back here on the Refining Exchange. We've had a conversation about building trust, but I actually had someone message me and they're like, hey, can you actually do one on restoring trust and just talk about the differences between building and restoring? Because if you're in business, if you're in relationships, I guess we're all in relationships, right? There is a difference from building from a clean slate versus building from a place of, you know, trust has been broken. So just jump into that for us. What does that look like for you? What is, like, you know, right off the bat, kind of a key difference for you?
Yeah. So what I love to talk about is things that are going on in my life right now in business. So one of the things that we want all the listeners to be aware of is that you and I are a work in progress, Tucker, right? So we don't claim that what we're doing is the best way to do it. What we're going to share with you is what we're actually doing, right? So I started thinking about yesterday, Tuck, I started thinking about, like, in my life, like right now, where are some areas that I need to restore trust? And they're fortunate for your listeners and unfortunate for me. There happens to be some areas that I do need to restore some trust. And so, you know, I think of, and I don't know who taught me this years ago, but I think of, like, your bank account. Like, if you think of your bank account, you know, if there's a certain dollar amount that if you invest in your savings account, for instance, and you hit this certain dollar amount, that trust is restored. The problem is everybody's bank account's different, right? And so what's not healthy is for me to impose upon you, Tucker, or your wife, Haley. Like, if I've broken trust with Haley, it's not fair for me to say, well, I'm going to do these 27 things, and after the 27th, then trust should be restored, right, Haley? Like, I can't impose that, but there are things that I can control and things I will try to control, but I can't control whether or not she chooses to trust me again. Does that make sense?
100%. I'm actually reading a book right now. It's called The Courage to Be Disliked. Haley's gonna drive her crazy because I've been quoting it a bunch here recently. But
yeah,
obviously, if you break trust, let's just say most of the time, it's probably your fault. However, in this book, it poses a really good question that you cannot be determined by how other people think, you know, or what other people think of you, or if other people approve of you. And so, like, as it relates to what you just said, like, Haley trusting you is out of your control to a certain extent. All you can control is where your heart's at and what you do to, you know, restore that trust. Yeah. So,
yeah. And I would say, sorry to interrupt you, I would say it's completely out of my control. You have zero control over the other person trusting you. Zero.
100%.
Zero. And so once you recognize it's zero, then you have a couple options. One option is, and frick it, right? I won't even bother. And I think that's super unhealthy. But I think, you know, I have definitely gone through seasons where I'm like, screw it. I don't care if they trust me or not. And then there's other seasons that, like, I'm in right now with our staff, is I'm like, you know, I actually want to, I value them and I want to invest the time as long as it takes. That's probably not true either, but I am willing to invest a certain amount of time to try to restore trust, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're restoring trust, if we re-engineer trust, like, there are things that probably everybody would agree to are things that start adding, you know, going back to building that trust bank account up, is like doing what you say you're going to, like, there are a bunch of little things, right? And so when you make amends, sometimes when you make amends in a situation, you think that by making amends that you've rebuilt the trust. And again, you can't impose that on the other person. So I think what you start doing is try to be super intentional about making sure that the other person's expectations, or where you're audibly making commitments, or where you're implying that you're going to do something. And so I think having a really clean slate You know, so what it would sound like, you know, in a meeting, Tuck, it would be like, hey, Tucker, what are you hearing me say that my action steps are going to be? Like, so if we're doing a 30-minute meeting, you know, the last 5 minutes might be me recapping what I chose to hear you say and or call to action that I said, and then I'm going to have you parrot that back to me. Dakota, your brother, is actually, he's been bitten in the tail.
Good so, for you. Good for you.
Allie, yeah. He's been bitten the tail a few times, and so he is now documenting when he's having crucial conversations, as the book's title. When he's having crucial conversations with people, he actually takes notes and then he types up an email and says to them, I'm going to be emailing you our notes to make sure there's no miscommunication on what the call to action is and the time frame around. I think that's it, right? Call to action and time frame of that.
That's really good. Gosh, that's good. Well, and one of the things to start unpacking some of what you just said, one of the quotes, I'm reading the book Trust right now by Dr. Henry Cloud. Mm. And I got the book and I was like, this seems so basic, trust. Like, you know, I feel like a trustworthy person and I feel like I trust people well. And when you start to unpack it, there's so many layers to it. And one of the things he said, quoted, is we're either moving towards trust or away from trust. So on one hand, trust can be broken and restored. On another hand, you know, trust is either you're either moving towards it away from it. So you may do something that takes you 5 steps back and you got to work your way forward off of that. But I think just understanding like, hey, I'm either moving towards or away from someone. The other piece that I love of what you said is this worth it? You know, this is going to take time, just like any relationship. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, it's important for us to say, hey, okay, is this relationship worth my time? Whether it's a dream client that I'm trying to restore the trust, or an employee that is going to be with us long term, or a client, you know, that, you know, obviously there's different situations there, but, you know, is it worth the time? And then the last thing, and this is something that you've said in the past, which I really love, and maybe we can unpack this next, is, you know, when you're, I don't think it's worth it to get into like, you know, I meant this, I meant that. And kind of going back on how, you know, back and forth on how things are perceived. However, what is your motive versus your intent? And I think it is healthy to explain that if you can get, you know, somebody's defenses down in a conversation and you can say, you can have that conversation. I think that's really healthy. I just think about some of my biggest disagreements with other people where I had to go into action to restore trust. And hey, I hurt you and I recognize what I said hurt you or did hurt you. And then here is my intent behind that action. I was not intending for it to hurt you for these reasons. So I think if you can get some people's, if you can get that person, that party's guards down and then, you know, go into action and you don't want to over explain, but hey, here is my intent. Here is my heart with this. And then start to work forward off of that.
Yeah. So I made some notes and I want to hopefully direct me if I'm getting into the weeds too much, but As you were unpacking that, one of the things that struck me is for leaders that desperately want to be liked. And so, you know, if I was, which I'd gone through seasons where I wanted to be liked so bad that if somebody felt like I broke trust with them, I mean, it would just, I'd be off the rails. You've heard me say, like, one of the worst things you can say to me is that I'm a liar or that I lack integrity. It's just, I just, you know, viscerally my, you know, even as I just said that, I kind of threw up in my mouth. It's the worst thing, you know, it's the worst insult, you know, that I think you could say to me. And yet as a leader, one of the other terms I learned earlier today is planned neglect. So as it relates to restoring trust, as a leader, you might discern that I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the desire to restore trust with this person. And so I could name some names, but you know them, right? Some people that, man, I pissed them off and they it's been years, if not decades, right? Some of the people that you know in my life that, man, they just they're pissed. Like, they're still pissed. And so they might say that I broke trust with them. And I got to a point quickly with those guys is that I decided to audit my motives, and I was at peace with my motives, even though they didn't understand my motives. And I didn't spend any time trying to explain my motives. I just went on with my life and realized these guys are likely, unfortunately for them, they're going to go to the grave with this axe against me, but I'm good with them, right? Does that make sense? Or do I need to clarify without naming names?
No, I think that's great. And it goes back to what I said about the curse be disliked. I mean,
yeah.
Some relationships are worth investing in or reinvesting in, and some aren't. So I think you evaluating that, and obviously it's unfortunate. You don't want to be the guy that a lot of people dislike. However, your life can't ride or die on, a group of a subset of 3 to 4 people that don't like you because of your intent, which for you was the best thing. You know, I know a few of those situations and we won't unpack, but you would say, I'm sure that you feel good about your decisions and then therefore you have to live with that, and you have to live the consequences. The only consequence of that is that you don't have those relationships, and that may be okay.
In their mind, if I come into their thought, right, if they see me or if they think about me, they have, burdens, they have angst, they have anger against me. And I'm okay with that because I've chosen to be okay with that. I don't lose any sleep when I see them. I'm still fond of their qualities that I think are redeeming qualities. I think of those people specifically. I don't wish them ill will. I'm good with them. And the other piece to this is to recognize that you'd mentioned that you talked about trust, and restoring trust is like, it's fluid. It's fluid, right? Restoration, trust and restoration of trust, just like culture, is fluid. Right. So if you're looking at, but specifically for your friend or whoever talked about restoring trust is, let me get back on track as far as like, all right, so somebody that you actually value and you have broken some trust with and you're trying to restore it. I think one of the steps in here is to acknowledge it, right? To acknowledge that, that I have done something regardless of my intention, Tucker. My motive for me is relevant, but for you might not be, because I still hurt you, right? I still broke your trust. And so for me to try to explain myself to you is unproductive many times. So I'm talking to myself and your listeners. It's like, sometimes the best thing you could do is, rather than trying to get them to understand you and your motives of why you did what you did, maybe the healthiest thing for you to do, because you value them, is just start the restoration process, which would include acknowledging that they have been hurt and not justifying or explaining it away. Just acknowledging, like for my, Kel sometimes says to me, my wife will sometimes say, just say you're sorry. Say you're, like, I don't want an explanation. Just say you're sorry. So I think with that context is, sometimes you have to choose to just start the restoration process, right? So if it's you talking, I'm just going to start doing the things to start building trust. And again, I might calendarize a bunch of these things, and I'm going to be thinking long-term. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint, right? So we're all geeked up over cold therapy and heat therapy and all this, right? Like embracing the suck and doing hard things. And well, this is a hard thing. Like restoring trust it's going to take a long time, and you don't choose when it's over. In the context of what I mean by this is, if it's somebody that you value, in this case, my staff. So I have staff members that believe that in their mind that I haven't followed through on commitments.
Yeah.
So this is something very specific. This is something, feedback that I've been given recently, is that myself, my leaders, my leadership team, which is me, myself and my leadership team, but anything my leaders do is me, right? And so I've talked about like David Booz quitting. I've talked to him about this podcast. So he fired me, right? And so there's trust that needs to be restored with some of my teammates that they believe that I haven't followed through on my commitments.
Right.
So what do you do? That's probably a common one for leaders, right? That your staff, if you have a staff of, you know, whatever quantity of employees or teammates. So what do you do? Well, one of the things that I talk to my leadership team is getting a ledger, like journaling. Dakota's really good about this in our huddles, by the way, Tuck, where he'll say, let me make sure. So I'll say something, I'll imply something or say something. And Dakota will say at the end, let me do a recap and make sure that I heard what you said. You're going to, or we're going to fill in the blank. And then Dakota journals it. And then we put a date on it. When are you going to do this? Because I ideate, right? And so I like to think out loud. And so is this something that we're going to do, or are you just brainstorming, Jerry? Right? So as I think out loud and I'm casting vision, you know, I'll say things like, which one of the things I say to my staff is, especially the young guys, is like, my objective is to help you become millionaires. Like that's something that I desire, is for my guys to be, you know, millionaires, to be independently wealthy by the time they retire, right? So that's one of my goals. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, it's by the time they retire. Well, how are you going to do that? You know, so to have a very specific date, time, and then the strategy of how are you going to do it, right? So, and again, being in a marathon, it's like, okay, I'm willing to go at this for the long haul. And but the summary there is follow through on your commitments.
Yeah.
Okay. Implied and spoken.
Yeah. Well, in one piece to get to one of the roots of what I heard you just say is active listening and understanding. And for you and I both, we can tend to overtalk people, right? And then when we get in situations where we're trying to restore trust, we try to justify and overexplain. And I learned this early in marriage, and I learned this early in leadership, that listening is the best tool to gaining trust from other people. And that all revolves around, or, you know, comes from a place of understanding. And it's so easy for me personally, and I know you, because we're similar to each other, to, you know, try to talk away the problems, or try to justify, or try to, you know, talk away, explain, you know, like I said earlier, explain intent. I used to do that early in my marriage, and it would drive Haley crazy. Similar to what you were talking about, Kel, sometimes it's just saying sorry. And being available and open posture to listening to what the other person says. Sometimes it's saying, sorry, I'm ready to listen. And them saying, you know, I'm not ready to talk. And you have to be good with that and walking away from it and taking a little bit of time. And maybe it's a day, maybe it's longer to rehash it. So, you know, that works with employees. Obviously the same too. If it's someone that you're trying to restore trust with, it's, hey, you know, such and such, that, you know, something that we chose to do as a company, or something I chose to do as a leader, didn't sit well with you. I'm ready to talk about that when you're ready to talk about it. And then listen. And Kevin, my EOS implementer, your buddy, who's become like a really great mentor for me, he says, you know, whatever we're talking about, he says, say it and then stop. He said, stop, stop, stop. Like every urge, every, you know, itch you had to say something, stop, just stop. Because like I'm saying, our natural reaction is to communicate, to talk, and to try to justify. So that's really good. Understanding, trying to listen to others, so important. We spoke about intent. I'm kind of going through my notes here of things we've hit. Know it, like speaking intent, showing people your intent is for them is important. You know, one of the things too is you know, I got stopped up trying to read my handwriting. Like integrity for us, how do I word this? So for us as leaders in our businesses, like everything starts and ends with trust. So like we've got all these big ideas. We want, you know, we're sales driven. We're trying to build processes, trying to drive key relationships. Like internally, as we hire people, like it all starts and ends with trust. Like, and you can probably think about this too, whether it's, you know, Booz fired you, or when a client fires you, like it usually all comes back to if they trusted you or not. And certainly there's action, but like, how many people fired you because you made a mistake versus did they fire you because they didn't trust you? Like, I know AG growing up, we used to make a ton of mistakes when you were growing and building the business. Maybe you still make some of those same mistakes, but like you progressively got better. And it was amazing to me that some of these builders would stay or contractors would stay using a Learning Glass because they trusted you. Yet you made mistakes. And I remember you'd be like, yep, that was the third time. They're going to fire us now. And those guys are still using you today, which is crazy that obviously we don't want to build and manage and run shoddy businesses. However, it's crazy that trust is overwhelmingly more important to business and business interactions and client experience than is production. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. And also, you know, with this, with what you're speaking to is, you know, kind of the evolution of it, going back to restoring trust, is that like saying you're sorry and apologizing is expected.
Yeah.
What is not expected is,
also, let me stop you real quick, because that's something like just saying you're sorry is hard for a lot of people too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. From a business standpoint though, and I think this works internally with your staff and externally with customers. I think one of the things that has created favor with our customer base is we say we're sorry, we fix the problem, and many times, if I'm involved, many times I'm explaining how this lesson is going to be used to train and improve our staff, right? So ironically enough, yesterday, speaking of restoring trust, there was a contractor that was ready to fire us because of some negligence by our project manager, one of our project managers. And so it's one of our newer project managers. I won't explain all the details, but he was negligent to the contractor multiple times. And so the contractor reached out to me and said, "Hey, Jerry, appreciate you and the business." And he was much more pissed than I'm using tone of voice. But he's like, you know, "I'm moving on from Learning Glass. My customer's pissed. I'm pissed." So I said, "Hey, can we jump on a call?" And I did and listened to his, you know, feedback, and then got with our ops guy and Dakota now and Mark Schulte, who's oversees the project managers. They were already aware of the situation. They were already dealing with it. And so then we accelerated the intensity of dealing with it and satisfying the customer, and in the short term, satisfying the contractor. And afterwards, I had an itemized list of things that we were doing to train our project managers in that area. And yesterday I had a beer with, I had beers with him after work, and I was sharing with him the steps that we're taking from a training standpoint. And I said to him with sincerity, is like, "Ryan, I appreciate you so much for having the respect of me to share with me, even though you were pissed. You could have just fired me and not told me." A lot of times you get fired by people and they don't even tell you. They just stop using you. And the obviously the challenge with that is you may have been given the gift of feedback that could actually help grow and improve your team. And so a lot of times for me, Tuck, restoring trust has to do with like, what are you going to put in place? What training are you putting in place to reduce the likelihood of this happening again? You things will happen and things will happen again. So we're not talking about living in a utopia. What we're talking about is reducing. We can't eliminate problems, but we can reduce problems. And so what I think, one of the reasons I don't fill out surveys and I don't give people feedback is because I don't think they're going to do anything with it. And so when you look at restoring trust, one of the gifts you have is when your guys shit the bed, right? When your guys shit the bed that's a perfect opportunity for you to improve your processes, improve your people, right? That it's the mistakes that make us better. And yet, you know, it's this weird paradox, Tuck, that nobody wants to make mistakes. And yet mistakes are exactly the feedback that we need to get better. And so when you look at restoring trust, I think it's, again, many, many ingredients to this. But one of the ingredients I think is really important for your listeners is, and important for me in full transparency, is like, you know, restoring trust means what action is being taken to reduce the likelihood of this happening to somebody else in the future? You can't eliminate it. You can't eliminate problems, but you can reduce the possibility or the probability.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, and I'll bring this to a close with this because it's a compliment to you. And it's the reason that, you know, this client or contractor came back to you with feedback is it's about track record. You know, it's about your track record. What are you known for? What's your brand? What are you known for? What are the clients or this other person believe in giving you that feedback? It's that Jerry Bierman has a track record of restoring trust. And so, you know, compliment to you on that. And, you know, to kind of, like I said, bring this full circle, restoring trust starts with understanding and active listening. And it ends with, you know, what do you do when trust is broken? You actively work towards restoring it. So compliments to you on that. Thanks for taking some time to talk about this. Love adding another layer to building trust with restoring trust. That's a good two-piece on trust. So thanks. Catch you on the next one.
Just wanted to say thank you guys for listening in. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, got something from it, something tangible that you can take with you and apply right away. We're looking forward to catching you on the next one.